The Final Four is here, and the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast is geeking out over it. Matt, Avi, Rhiannon, and Corbett break down last week's regional finals and TAPS championships, including Mansfield Lakeridge's heart-stopping win over Longview, Allen's assuredness against Denton Ryan, and Mansfield's dominance over Denton Geyer. Then we turn our sights to the state semifinals, with familiar foes like Aledo, Austin Westlake, and Lake Travis on the docket. We've got all that, plus an interview with Austin American Statesman reporter Danny Davis and McDonald's breakfast menu talk, all coming up on the podcast. Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast. It's a four-person crew. Rhiannon Walker. What's up, Rhiannon? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, guys. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You got a festive holiday sweater on. I dig that.
Nice. Yeah.
It's got some snowflakes and whatnot.
It does. It's not an ugly Christmas sweater just yet, but I'm getting close to it, though.
Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater?
I have plenty of ugly Christmas sweaters. Right. I used to host parties. I really like hosting parties.
Whoa.
And there's Avi Zalin. Hey, Avi.
I'm so wired.
You are wired. You just ate a piece of chocolate.
Dude.
So this
I'm drinking Pepsi.
I thought you just said you didn't like sweet things.
Right.
Sweet things.
He just passed on it.
With an iron A.
Okay. In part two, he'll mention.
No.
And this is foreshadowing. In part two, he'll mention that he doesn't like sweet breakfast, but he is drinking Pepsi and eating chocolate. And it is 10:22.
Breakfast to champions. Let's go.
All right, and here's Matt Wixon, the most subdued of this bunch.
I can't keep up with that. That just sounded like a Peter Brady voice crack.
Peter Brady.
It's time to change.
Hey, guys. All right.
Going through puberty. What of it?
Yeah, I know. It's a tough time. Happy Hanukkah, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you. Happy Hanukkah to all of us, but really just me because you guys don't celebrate it.
Well, I mean,
it's a good point.
That's true.
Send long best wishes.
Yes.
Well, you could get
best wishes
present,
to
Matt.
You and your people.
I already gave you a present.
What do you mean, your people?
The chosen people.
We are. Yeah. Hashtag chose.
We are coming out of the regional finals, going into the state semifinals, and we do have, just like every year, a large contingent of Metroplex area teams. We'll talk about that there in part three. In part one, we'll talk about the games of the week, including TAPS finals. We had a couple of champions crowned from the Metroplex. And we'll talk to Danny Davis from the Austin American Statesman in part two to talk about a few of those matchups there this week involving Austin Westlake and Austin Lake Travis. Or I guess more accurately, just Lake Travis. Austin Lake Travis is the UIL designation.
Right.
They see that as an insult.
I wish they had a Pflugerville team still in it. So we could say Pflugerville.
Pflugerville Flies is what my dad always used to joke about. That was their mascot.
Oh, my God. Spelling that's so difficult.
Well, it is. Pflugerville Hendrickson is a long thing to type, and I always misspell it.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, you were at one of the games of the week. There were a lot of great games this week, but you were involving the two unbeatens in 6-8 Division I, and that's Allen and Denton Ryan for the Division I Region 1 title. That game went about just as expected. In fact, I was a point away in my predictions.
Oh.
I had 49-28. It was a 21-point win there for Allen, 48-27. But Allen, they just do what they always do.
They were talking
do.
About that after the game. We almost got Corbett's prediction.
Man, we're so disappointed.
Yeah. I would say it was very much what I expected. And that's not saying anything against Ryan. I think Ryan is a very good team. Obviously, you win your first 13 games, you're a good team. But I knew that Allen was going to be really focused in this game. Not to say that they're unfocused a lot, but I thought they were going to be sharp right away, and they were. They got out 17-0, and the only chance I thought that Ryan had to win this game was to maybe get out front, you know, by a touchdown or so, and then hang on.
For Allen to be flat coming out,
right?
Yeah,
and maybe make some mistakes. Allen did make a couple of mistakes. I mean, the muffed punt for a touchdown—that's a pretty big one. But Allen. It was interesting. It's what I wrote about, too. I thought they were so impressive because their defense is always great, really good. They're great from front to back. Their secondary is about as good as I've seen, and definitely their linebacker and front core is probably as powerful as I've seen, and Allen's had some really good ones. But that being said, then on offense, Allen, they came out, and Mitchell Jonke's throwing really nice soft passes, and the receivers are getting separation, and that's how they got out to that lead. Then in the second half, they just switch gears and just mash. You know, basically just pound them with Kirby Bennett, who's a sophomore.
He's a big kid.
He is. Yeah. He's got pretty good speed, and he's got a lot of power. And so, you know, I think he ran for 200 yards on 15 carries. And most of those were in the second half. I think
against
a very good defense.
A tough Ryan defense, yeah.
And I think that's what just, of many things, why Allen is so scary and so difficult to beat, is that they can do it whatever way, you know, it's working for them. And in this game, both were working for them, and they just had to kind of decide, hey, what are we going to do? Are we going to throw it around a bit, which they did in the first half. And then in the second half, they got out there and they just controlled the line of scrimmage up front, opened holes, and then just – that's just such a backbreaker for a defense when they can do that to you. And Ryan's defense was really exhausted by the end of the game.
At halftime, Tom Westerberg pulls out the magic eight ball. How are we going to beat them in the second half?
Well, you know, it's interesting, too.
Okay, all right, we're going to go with that this time.
Right. It was 24-13, I believe, at halftime. Allen gets the ball.
Didn't they cut it to 17-10 or something like that?
Yeah, that was after the muff punt.
Yeah. Right. And then Allen put a touchdown on. But it was 24-13 at half. Allen came out, and on their first possession, Ryan sacked Jonkey three times in a row. Yeah. And I mean, and I was like, wow, that was a statement that you know, they're going to be in Allen's face. They're not going to let it happen. And it was at that point that Coach Westerberg said he challenged his team up front. Let's see if we can control the line of scrimmage, and we're just going to run.
Right.
Or we're going to run prominently. And they did it, and basically they just ran away at that point.
Something like nobody really talked about with that game, and I don't know how much of this you saw from the press box, it got pretty chippy towards the end there. There was we got a great photo from it, but I think the Ryan quarterback got sacked, and he took exception to something that the defender did, and he got back up and got all up in his grill, and the ref had to restrain him. And I don't know, that was kind of
interesting. You get this late in the playoffs, and it's
your unbeaten team.
It's two unbeaten. It's going to get very emotional. And speaking of Ryan's quarterback, I mean, he is not your typical quarterback either. Plays linebacker. Mm. He was playing linebacker for Ryan in that game in spots. So Spencer Sanders, he's a really good one too. Great prospect. He's only a sophomore. Most of that Ryan team, the top players are sophomores and juniors.
Yeah.
They're going to be really tough dropping down to 5A next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Potentially a state favorite there in 5A Division I.
Yeah.
In Division II, we had two teams or two different regions squaring off with Metroplex teams, Mansfield and Denton-Geyer. That was a game that I was covering at Dragon Stadium in Southlake. And I thought this was going to be a barn burner.
I thought so, too.
Geyer comes out and scores early. They take a 7-0 lead. Sean Robinson, making some nice moves on a touchdown run. And I'm thinking, this is going to be a pretty salty affair.
Sodium-free.
To be honest, Mansfield played terribly in the first quarter. They tried to establish their passing game, couldn't get it done. They had a fumble after a completed pass, and they just didn't look like the Mansfield that you would expect. Come the second quarter, though, and really the final drive of the first quarter into the second quarter, they just started handing the ball to Kennedy Brooks, and Kennedy Brooks
Tends to work.
It does
work. I like that play.
A 189 and three touchdowns. He scores two of them in that quarter. They score 44 unanswered points, 20 in the second quarter to start pulling away. And then their passing game does kind of warm up. They throw a touchdown. The final touchdown in the second quarter is a touchdown that sets up after a Geyer turnover. They had four fumbles and an interception, did Geyer, and that probably led to their demise. And then on the first play of the second half, a play-action pass from Dameron Smith, their quarterback, to Jackson Gleason, 69-yard touchdown. And that was really the game at that point. 44-7, a domination from a team like Mansfield. That they might have the toughest matchup of anybody in the area, though. Well, maybe Salina has something to say about that in the next round, but that was a mighty, mighty impressive performance.
Yeah, and like you said, boy, that's going to be difficult looking ahead and playing Lake Travis. That's a tough pick. But, yeah, I thought that was going to be a close game. Geyer's been a little bit up and down this year, but they've certainly been up recently in the playoffs, and I just didn't think that Mansfield could dominate them that way.
And they certainly did. On the flip side, in Region 2, Rockwall got dominated by Lake Travis. They fall down.
They mounted a little. They started to come back
a little bit. Yeah, but they fell down like 25-0 early on.
Right.
They were playing at Kyle Field, and they just couldn't match pace with the the really impressive attack. That,
really good.
Yeah, that Lake Travis has. You know, Caleb Broach had a good game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He
is
rushes.
He a senior?
He is a senior. But he rushes 34 times for 238 on the ground. But it's not enough as Lake Travis ends up winning that game. I believe that was 45-24. Lake Travis rolls on. We'll talk about the Lake Travis-Mansfield matchup in Part 2 and Part 3. In Class 5A, an area team that's not in our coverage area, and that's Aledo, beats Canyon Randall 28-14. It was a close game like last year. It was a 14-7 at the half, but Aledo pulls away. They will face Mansfield Lake Ridge, who that might be the game of the week across the state, 56-53.
Once it ended Sunday
morning. Yeah, 56-53. Both teams combined for over 1,000 yards total offense. And really, it was a roll of the dice from Lake Ridge to try to keep Longview's offense off the field, set up a good chance for Longview to win or to tie the game. They go for it on fourth down. They had been 4 of 4 on fourth down
all game,
and ended up going for it on fourth down, 4th and 4. Don't get it. Jet Duffy is sacked. And Longview drives the ball down. It has 3 straight incompletions, though, once they get to the 19 and then try a field goal. That short field goal is missed, and Lake Ridge rolls on unbeaten, 14-0, with that impressive victory. Matt, was that a surprise to you that Longview matched them punch for punch? I know Longview's Twitter account got sassy at me for saying that Lake Ridge was going to score 50. Well, they did score 50.
The
but
second time since, what was it, 1952 that somebody's put up.
But, Longview just really had no recourse. When Lake Ridge is going to, if they're going for it on fourth down and they're pushing it offensively, that's probably one of the most talented offenses, especially in Class 5A in the state. It's hard, you've got to be able to match them score for score.
Yeah, I was actually – I thought that Lake Ridge would win with a little more separation.
Right.
Just because Lake Ridge had been so impressive. And I saw Longview the week before, and they looked great when they beat Wiley. But I was impressed that Longview hung in that game, was able to score that many points.
Yeah, and they scored quickly a couple of times, a couple of like one or two play drive, long touchdown passes.
Corbett, the funny thing was is that I would consider going down. Like I was trying to video both sides, but they would set up and they would score. The running back, he would just run off, do an 80-yard touchdown, and then just kind of like I'm not leaving this side because you know what, Lakers is probably going to come down and score, and lo and behold, they would do it.
Right.
But going to the fourth down statistic, I think they scored twice over on fourth down. I know they did on 4th and 9, and I think they did so another time. So if
all of their fourth down conversions led to touchdowns. Some of them immediately, and others that are on drives that scored. So I mean, Kirk Thorpe was rolling the dice there, but it was a calculated risk. Mm-hmm. 4th and 4 was that's very achievable, but it did give Longview really good field position there for that final drive setup.
Well, as I was going to say, as a very quick segue, I think that's a trend that more coaches are going to. Though, I mean, if you're on your own 20, okay, you're punting it away. But there's a lot of teams. If you get in the middle of the field, there's more value to maybe going to 4th and 3, 4th and 4, because you maybe get 30 yards on that punt, and the way teams are moving the ball, it's not as much of an advantage. They're going to move the entire field.
Right.
They can do it now. So you want to just – if you can keep that possession and not give away that possession, if you have any kind of level of confidence in a play that you can get 3 or 4 yards,
and I think a lot of times it's coaches putting confidence in what they feel is their best asset. And Jet Duffy is, the best player. He makes that team go. Put the ball in his hands as opposed to asking your defense to make a stop. Even though the defense did eventually make a stop, I think a lot of coaches.
Last drive of the game was the first
the first time that Longview hadn't scored. Yeah, it was something crazy like that.
I liked the tweet from Matt Stepper. It was, Kirk Thor coaches football like I play Madden.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is that Jet Duffy would be really fun to play with on high school video game.
Get that started, Avi.
Right.
The players don't get paid, so we would be getting using their likeness.
Just be number 5 or whatever.
Generic quarterback number 5 that happens to have the same haircut.
Right. In Division 2, you had in Region 1, you had Lake Dallas beating Everman 41-38. Now they did it with some late heroics, 20 unanswered points there from the 3rd and 4th quarters.
Dagenham was real good second half. He won the game, I think, 458 yards, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, and Kier Crosley was awesome as well for Everman. He rushed for 233, but Han throws for 463. That's a pretty impressive performance from Lake Dallas, who's now 12-2, advanced to the state semifinals for the first time in school history. They get a very, very difficult task, though, in Frisco Lone Star. Matt, you covered Lone Star and Lancaster. That was an impressive performance from Lone Star in a game that, they really, in the second and third quarters, they just pulled away from a very good Lancaster team.
Yeah, I mean, that's another team. I mean, that it's no surprise to me now that where they are, because they're so balanced. They can do so many good things on offense with Jason Shelley, and they got good running backs and good receivers. And then their defense, that's probably the best Frisco ISD-type defense that I've seen.
They certainly have speed to match. I mean, it used to be that they would get caught up in the secondary and have people blow by them, but that's not the case.
Well, when you're in that district and you're playing teams, you know, like Centennial and like Frisco, you know, you don't – You're
and
used
the colony.
To those. And the colony.
Right.
Used to ground and pound a little bit, yeah.
But as that game started and Lancaster had some success on offense, people were saying, well, Frisco, Lone Star has not seen this kind of speed.
Well, that's what I thought.
Which is true.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the way Lone Star's secondary was coming up and making plays, and they were so aggressive, their linebackers. I mean, in open space, they were not letting Lancaster receivers get away. And Lancaster just thrives with that. They throw the ball outside. They got guys who can make one move, make one guy miss, and it's a 20-yard gain as opposed to a 2-yarder. Well, if Lone Star, Lancaster had a few of those plays, but for the most part, if you threw a little bubble screen out there or a little shot out there, you're getting 1 yard. And you ended up with 2nd and 9 and then 3rd and 7, stuff like that. And that's why Lone Star, basically their defense, had success in that game.
Jason Shelley had a good night, although he did throw 2 picks. He was 12 of 16 for 181, rushed for over 150 yards, and is certainly in contention for player of the year. I think Jet Duffy and Jason Shelley both are right
and
there.
And Kennedy, yeah.
And Kennedy Brooks, yeah.
Yeah, well, are right there. Jason Shelley really grew up in one game, because I think both of those picks came in the first quarter.
They were there early.
And you're kind of like, well, it was a good run, you know, but this is, you know, an experience, whatever. But a lot of resiliency to come back and lead his team to a
win. He's a really tough runner, and he can get himself out of little jams, you know, basically buy time to do things. And when it came down to it, I think the reason why Lancaster couldn't fight their way back into that game is they couldn't stop Lone Star from running when we got to the second half. Lone Star just... they were, you know, breaking off big runs.
I didn't see his numbers, but Jalen Dixon, I think, had a really good game for Lone Star too. He he's kind of the two punch and the 1-2 punch that is him and Shelley.
Actually, Corbett, real quick, I just wanted to go back to the Lake Dallas game.
Sure.
But actually, when we're talking about that, you know, one of the interesting facts about the Everman game was that of all their scoring drives, there's only one that needed 5 plays or more. Every other scoring drive was 5 plays or less. That's how quickly they scored in their game. So when you talk about Lake Dallas, I don't know, between Lake Dallas and Frisco Lone Star, the two of them can both put up points very quickly. But when you look at that game and the amount of points that they scored, if four of those scoring drives were coming from really, really quick shots, that's why that game was so close. They weren't out there very long defensively at all, if that anything.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how they match up against Lone Star, because I think that's an offense that can put up points in a hurry. In Class 4A, you had Argyle with some late heroics against Texarkana Liberty Ilo. They had to hold off Ilo in the final final drives, but Argyle kind of rushed forward there in the third and fourth quarters to retake the lead, and they advance as the Region 2 champs. Congratulations to Todd Rogers and his kids. They will face Abilene Wiley, who beat Brownwood 14-7. In the Region 1. In Division 2, you have Salina advancing 42-13 over Crum. No shocker there. Salina owned Crum in district play, and there was more of the same.
They wanted the whole bite.
Yeah.
Really?
Connor Bingleton with another good performance. He didn't throw 7 touchdowns like he did in the regular season, but he did have an impressive performance. They'll face Gilmer. We'll talk about that in part 3. Mineola and Sunnyvale. Mineola ends Sunnyvale season 45-28.
Good season, Sunnyvale.
Great season for Sunnyvale, who had never won a playoff game until they came into this year. They made it all the way to the regional final. And Mineola, it was expected to be here. They had their quarterback, Jeremiah Crawford, rush for 314 yards and 4 scores. He and Chance Perkins, their running back, both were stars on last year's team, who made it all the way to the state final and got beat by Cameron Yeo. So no surprise that Mineola advances. Mineola will face Brock, in which I think will be one of the more anticipated smaller school games. Let's talk a little bit of TAPS. Friday night, you had TC Cedar Hill just could not finish, finish the cause there against Shiner St. Paul. They end up falling in that game 43-40. Cedar Hill had won 10 straight, started 0-3, yep. and then won 10 straight. Shiner St. Paul jumped out to a big lead, but then Cedar Hill kind of clawed back and retook the lead there in the fourth quarter, and it just came down to Shiner St. Paul making a little bit more plays. T.J. Bell for them rushed for 225 and 5 touchdowns to cap an unbeaten season there for Shiner St. Paul.
Congrats.
Well, have a beer. In the
beer joke. How clever. Sorry.
Wow.
Yikes, Avi.
Oh, come on. You guys dish it out to me every week.
Yeah, but you're deserving of that sass.
You made a beer joke about Shiner. That's like a real low-hanging fruit. At least I did.
That's what I can do, man.
Well, my crumb joke was far superior.
That's all I can reach. And then you had, in Division Two, you had Fort Worth Christian beating Dallas Christian 24-21.
Which is like exactly the way I thought that game would go.
Really?
Just I thought it'd be super close. Yep.
Yeah, well, it was Jack Robertson.
There you go. I make both teams happy that way. But no, I really did. I think those,
I picked that game 28-24, Fort Worth Christian. So it was another. It was a good week for me picking. No one cares.
Way to go.
Which is, yeah. Thanks, Matt. Jack Robertson, who, if we were, if we were involving some smaller private school guys in the player of the year discussion, he might be in that running. He had a great year. He rushed for a 153 and a touchdown. Congratulations to Fort Worth Christian.
Yeah.
Good staff. Good program. Plano Prestonwood in Division One. They avenge the loss in the regular season and in last year's final. And in last year's regular season,
like the
three
Texas
straight
OU
losses.
Of the TAPS.
I think so.
Because, every year it's coming down to Bishop
Dunn. That should be the
Preston
whole
Wood.
Season is Preston Wood and Dunn playing each other every week.
Yeah, Preston
it's
Wood.
It's a best of 10.
Yeah, they go for it on their own 41-yard line with a minute to go on 4th-and-1, talking about doing it in midfield, and they end up converting it. Colin Whitaker gets a 3-yard run, and that seals the win 32-27. They beat previously unbeaten Bishop Dunn, and they take that TAPS title, which is their second in 5 years, I believe.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. but that was a blowout loss last year, 41
right.
to 10. Preston Wood wins, and congratulations to their kids, Ryan Cash, Jonathan Heasley.
10,000 yards.
Yeah, a good, plus. Certainly a good offense. One of the best in private schools.
And all the Dunn kids will go on to play D1 football, so they're okay.
There you go.
Yep.
Okay, part two coming up. We got Danny Davis from the Austin American Statesman, and then part three. In part two of the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast, we have Danny Davis of the Austin American Statesman. Hey, Danny, how are you?
Doing good. How are you guys doing on this lovely day?
Oh, it is indeed lovely. We've got Danny on because two of our biggest area teams are facing two of his biggest area teams. You've got 6A Divisions 1 and 2, DFW and Austin area teams are squaring off. And Danny, I'm going to just throw it out there and ask you to give me the lowdown on a couple of these teams. Is Lake Travis the better of the two? I know they beat them in the regular season, but are they your area's best team?
I mean, I guess it depends on where you want to put Cedar Park in the mix. Obviously, they don't play, but, in the past, when they were in the same district, Cedar Park always gave Lake Travis a run for their money and had some memorable games. So it's either Cedar Park or Lake Travis, depending on how much you want to put the 6A versus 5A factor into it.
Is Westlake a considerable notch below Lake Travis, or are they pretty close at this point?
I think Westlake's the level below. I mean, they played every year, and they last beat Lake Travis in 2007, and this year's matchup wasn't close. It was a 21-point game, and Westlake scored with under a minute to go to get it to 21 points. So, I mean, Lake Travis is a level above Westlake, although Westlake is playing better since that loss.
Right. If you look at what Lake Travis has done this year, they are 14-0. They're facing Mansfield in the Division II semifinal. Mansfield at 12-2. The key players for them, Charlie Brewer, their quarterback, is he pledged anywhere? He's a junior. He played last year as a sophomore. Is that correct?
Last year's scenario was kind of weird. Travis had a quarterback who's now at Iowa State who got suspended for the first three games. So Charlie came in at the beginning of the season, played really well, and then for whatever reason, loyalty, the fact that the kid was a D1 commit, he got his job back, even though Charlie was the better quarterback. And so Charlie kind of came in and played a little bit in blowouts and got some playing time in the playoffs. But this is his first full year, and he has an offer from SMU. And I think he's just kind of waiting for some better offers to come in, which they should.
He's had a fantastic season, 37 touchdowns, only two interceptions. Do they have offensive balance there? Is Malik Barkley a kid that needs to be considered a threat in this game?
They've kind of had to retool their offense. In the Westside game that we just talked about, their starting running back, who was probably their best player, Abe Willows, injured his knee, and he's been out for the season. He's going to go play at Harvard, but he was averaging double-digit yards per carry. It was just a really fantastic back for him. So they've kind of had to retool. After that injury, they kind of threw the ball a little bit more, but Malik Barkley the last 2 weeks is they found some success with him running the ball. He's their second best receiver, so he still is catching balls for him. But I'd say they're probably pass first now a little bit more than they were at the beginning of this season, but they can still run the ball with some of the options they have in the backfield, and Charlie can run it a little bit too.
Did you cover the Spring Westfield game?
I did, yes.
That was by far their closest game this year. They ended up winning 28-21. How did Westfield stay in that ball game?
Luke Travis got up pretty big. It was 28-7 at one point, and Spring Westfield just kind of rallied at the end and, made kind of a run in the fourth quarter, scored twice, and then you were driving for the game, winning touchdown. So Lake Travis, I think they're up by 21 with 10 minutes to go. So, Lake Travis had the momentum, kind of let it slip a little bit in Westfield, made him sweat a little bit. But, for three quarters of that game, Lake Travis had control of the scoreboard. It was just kind of the Spring Westfield kid, obviously, they have an Arizona State committed quarterback. So he showed off what he could do, and Lake Travis had to be resilient in the end.
Is the thought that Lake Travis is now a legitimate state contender in a 6A rotation every year? They had their drive for five that was ended in the 2012 playoffs in the first round against Pflugerville, and since then they've been up and down. They've made the semifinals or lost early in the playoffs. Does it feel like they've hit a point where they're now consistently going to be making these deep playoff runs?
I think they are. This year's team, every kid, if you look at their stat sheet, that's a leader on their team is a junior. So this whole team is going to be back next year and probably better and more seasoned. They had that year they reached the state semifinals, lost to Cedar Hill the year Cedar Hill won state. And that was another case of, the kid we talked about earlier that's at Iowa State. He was a junior at that point, just wasn't ready to carry that team offensively. And Cedar Hill shut down Lake Travis's running game in that game, and Lake Travis's couldn't score. The 2012 loss was a surprise to I think most people when Baker Mayfield, that team lost in the by district round. And then last year's team just wasn't good enough to go on a deep playoff run. But they're going to have talent. It's a it's a growing school. People that move their families into Austin, that's going to be one of the schools they look at attending, so I don't think they're ever going to be out of talent, and their coaches are good. They get paid a lot of money out there, and it's for a good reason. They're good coaches, and I think they're going to be in the mix for years to come. They may not be the favorites they were when they were running through 4A, but it'd be foolish to overlook them. I think every preseason poll should find room for Lake Travis somewhere in that top 10.
When you talk about coaches who are seasoned, Todd Dodge doesn't get very long on the list before his name comes up. His performance at Westlake has really been impressive. They were 7-4 last year, and now they're 13-1, that lone loss to Lake Travis in the playoffs. Is it all about their quarterback, Sam Ellinger?
Sam gets a lot of credit, and he deserves it. He's a great talent, and we're going to have either him or the running back from Vandegrift's going to be our player of the year this year, just kind of depending on what happens over the next couple of weeks with Westlake. But You know, he's not the only player on their team that can play. You know, he has two D1 wide receivers. Chase Coakley is going to North Texas. And Reed Klubnik, who's now the school's all-time leader receiver, has offers from Air Force in Kansas. I mean, he has talent to throw the ball to. They've kind of developed a running game over the last couple of weeks, and that defense they have has just been spectacular. They weren't great on Saturday, but, 24 points allowed is the worst they've played in since the Lake Travis game in mid-October. So, the defense is playing well and giving Sam plenty of wiggle room on offense, and, he's delivered. I mean, he can run the ball, he can throw the ball, and, overall, this is just a very talented team is, kind of peaking at the right time.
Hard to believe that Ellinger, who's just a junior, has already broken their all-time leading passer. He said it last week, passing Nick Foles. They've had some really good passers there at that school. As far as Westlake goes, what is the attitude for them heading into a game where they're a decided underdog against Allen?
I mean, I think they're, you get the cliche, we're taking the game at a time kind of quotes, but I think, beneath all that, if you can dig past that, they're excited for the challenge. They know exactly what Allen's, record is and the streak they have and what they've accomplished over these last, 3-4 years. And, I think they're ready for it. And, playing a team like Travis, and they had South Lake Carroll on their schedule early in the season. So, they played big programs with a lot of prestige, and they've been underdogs before, and I think they kind of like that challenge. And I don't think they're going to be intimidated by Allen. Allen should be the favorite in this game, and I don't think anyone's trying to kid themselves otherwise. But I don't think I don't think Westlake's going to go out there and lay an egg because Allen's on the other sideline. I think they're going to enjoy the challenge, and it should be a good game.
They're 2-0 against Metroplex teams this year. They did beat South Lake Carroll in a rematch of the Todd Dodge Bowl in the beginning of the season, 20-14, and then they just waylaid North Mesquite in the third round of the playoffs, 56-7. Danny, we thank you for joining us this early. I know that you were on those no kid hours. Matt and I have been up for like 18 hours, but you just rolled out of bed. You need to get yourself some more coffee. I do have a question though. Yep. Avi said that his favorite thing at McDonald's breakfast is hash browns by a mile.
It's probably the only thing I would eat on it.
So you would just order like 6 hash browns if you were real hungry?
No, like I would also get like a bacon, egg, and cheese bagel, but like it's not going to be good.
You're rolling for a bagel at McDonald's? That's a very bold strategy.
Bold strategy, Cotton. I don't like the muffin. The muffin's kind of gross. I haven't had the mutant hybrid of a pancake and a whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, the McGriddle.
No, I haven't had it.
Danny, your thoughts on McDonald's breakfast?
I used to be a big fan of the sausage biscuits until someone showed me how many calories those things have. I've had to cut back on eating those. But I like their little breakfast burritos, I guess, the mini sausage.
The sausage burrito, yeah, it's a good, it's a price point, too. It's like two for $2 or something
right.
like that.
Can I tell you?
I'm sure they're unhealthy, but they taste good.
Can I tell you something awful and you're going to judge me immediately?
We will totally judge you. Okay. I'm already judging you.
You know what fast food breakfast I had, and I'm like, this isn't bad at all? Taco Bell.
You went with the Taco Bell. I have yet to go to the Taco Bell
I had
breakfast.
The AM Crunchwrap.
Oh.
Where they put like an egg, a hash brown, and then your choice of meats with cheese in a tortilla and,
impress it.
Damn, I hated myself for that, but it was good.
Well, if you tried that, you should just try a McGriddle. I mean, you shouldn't mess around.
I don't like sweet stuff that much.
Oh, man.
I'm just all about sodium and grease.
Well, Danny, thank you very much for your input on your McDonald's breakfast. And we will look forward to seeing you. I'm sure you'll have one of these teams or an area team next week at NRG. Are you excited to go to Houston?
Woo!
I guess. I think I'm going to Houston this weekend for Cedar Park and Vista Ridge. So.
I guess.
All right. So double
up.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, Danny, we'll see you down the road. Thanks very much for joining us.
Bye, guys.
Part 3.
It's like the...
Are you American Woman in
no,
it?
No, that's the... That's like the music you play in between the two
I
segments.
Don't play American Woman.
But it's like...
It's like free... It's some sort of free gimme music. Yeah.
I've recognized a lot of the music because I've played the same stuff that... It's the free music that everybody uses.
Right, it's
actually
music catalog.
Wixson's in the studio playing it.
It's playing that slap bass. Okay, let's talk about semifinals. Let's just go in order of classification.
All right,
Allen and Westlake. Talked to Danny said that this is Westlake program, a notch below Lake Travis as far as the pecking order there. They do have maybe the best player in the field in Sam Ehlinger. He's going to be a good one, a Texas commit. He's thrown already for 5,600 yards, which passed Nick Foles, and they've got two receivers that have combined for over 2,000 yards this year. They've won six straight by 21 points or more, and they've got Todd Dodge on their sidelines. Matt, they got any shot against Allen, who's got 57 straight wins?
Sure. They've definitely got a shot.
You always say that.
Well, because...
but I'm not picking them.
Well, they don't have a chance. They're going to get beat by 20.
What did I say before the DeSoto game?
Sure, they got
DeSoto
has a chance.
They were down. It was the last drive to
DeSoto
tie the game.
Westlake
beat Carroll.
Oh, I spit on my mic.
Yeah,
God,
they did beat Carroll.
Westlake beat Carroll. Yes, I do believe they have a chance because I think anytime you have what you were just mentioning, you have a quarterback who basically you can put the game on his shoulders.
Right.
Allen's got a very good defense, but I think Westlake can score a lot of points, and I think they will score. I think they're going to score around 35 points. I think they're going to lose by two touchdowns, though.
Okay, two touchdowns. I like that.
Okay.
I think Allen rolls in this game. Even though Westlake's defense has been good, especially in the playoffs, they held the Woodlands to 3. They held North Mesquite to 7. They held Round Rock to 14. But Allen is Allen. I'd be surprised if they can keep them within a two-score win. Now, in the other semifinal, you've got Galena Park North Shore and Converse Judson squaring off. It should be a really interesting matchup. But I personally think that the Division II semifinals, if you look at them, in Class 6A are the better between the two.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
A lot
doubt.
Of good teams there. Yep.
Because you've got Katy and Cibolo Steel squaring off, which is the game of the week across the state there in the other semifinal. And you've got Mansfield, a very good Mansfield team, against Lake Travis. Mansfield's probably going to be the underdog. Kennedy Brooks, though, is the real deal. He's rushed for almost 3,400 yards and 40 touchdowns. He's a beast. Going up against the Lake Travis team, who's, like I said, Charlie Brewer is really good. They've got a lot of winning tradition, even though that a lot of that hasn't come in 6A. This Mansfield team, though, seems like they're,
something special.
A team of destiny. Yeah. Yeah. One thing of note, Lake Travis has beaten Waco Midway twice and badly. They beat them in the playoffs 55-14. That was a game that Mansfield nearly lost early in the season, so that might give you a little bit of indication as to where Lake Travis is.
Although Mansfield's quarterback wasn't playing. Right?
No, he was playing in that game. He did not play in the first game, which was a loss, but he did
the
play
Legacy
in the
game?
The Summit game.
Oh, that's what I meant.
He played in the Summit game.
Yeah.
Who'd they lose in their season opener to? It'll come to
Marcus.
Marcus, yeah. Did not play in the Marcus game, but did play in the subsequent two games. But they've gotten better as the season has gone along. And that offensive line really, handled Geyer. It'll just be interesting to see what happens against Lake Travis. I think it's going to have to be a shootout win if Mansfield's going to win it.
Yeah, because Lake Travis has been really putting up some points, and I think they're going to. Although Mansfield's defense, that was impressive, holding Geyer to 7. Geyer's got a lot of weapons.
I mean, Geyer's got Emmett Smith, so anytime.
Emmett Smith did not play.
He
had a hurt hand. That really kind of hurt them because they did not look very balanced offensively. And they were, Jeff Hume actually at the end of the game, he said, we were trying to get Sean Robinson to throw the ball because we didn't want him to run because he was in that first few plays, you could very clearly see he's one of the best athletes out there on the field, if not the best athlete, although Saeed Adebo and Brooks would have something to say about that. But couldn't get it going. They keyed on him in the run, and they shut him down. Let's go to 5A Division I. You've got Aledo and Lake Ridge. It's opposites right there. Aledo, kind of ground and pound, great defense. They haven't won a ton of games that they're not completely overmatched.
Mm-hmm.
When they're playing similar type opponents, it's been a fairly close-to-the-vest kind of game against a Lake Ridge team who has just been, pouring 50-point performances left and right.
I think they've scored at least – it was in Greg's story. The amount of straight games, they've scored over 60 points, I want to say. They got – It's either 50 or 60. Got a nice little streak going.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, they've been a buzzsaw. That other bracket is also good. Richmond George Ranch unbeaten in Cedar Park Vista Ridge. It shows you the strength of that Cedar Park district where you had Vista Ridge facing Austin Vandegrift and Cedar Park in Division II.
The Austin area has been great this year.
Well, I mean, the Austin area also gets the benefit of being in some weird regions. Region 2.
Right, because it's a central part of the state, so it takes a little bit of piece of pie from.
Right. Region 2 takes some of the Metroplex, but not all of it. And the Metroplex is contingent. You don't have Skyline.
Right.
You don't have these big area powers. And it takes some of the Houston area, but they didn't have, you know, the northern part of Houston didn't have a dominant team. You know, Westfield's probably.
Right, that's what the spring.
Yeah, the spring schools are probably your better schools. And then in Division. Now, in Region 4, in the other divisions, you know, it's Region 4. They're clearly the best programs there. Matt, do you like Lake Ridge in this game, or is Aledo, they've won 5 out of the last 6 state titles.
Right.
It's really hard to pick against a
team with that kind of resume and just consistency.
Right.
You just, every time Aledo goes out there, it doesn't matter who's on the team, you're going up against something tough, and if you're picking, you figure it's going to be Aledo.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, Canyon, Randall played them pretty tough. But I still think Aledo might be the slight favorite in this game, but I might pick Lake Ridge.
Lake Ridge has been so impressive when I've seen them. That offense is just a sight to behold.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say, if I'm, thinking as, a journalist, I love the idea of Lake Ridge running the table. As a story, that really appeals to me. But I think you go with Aledo, partial. And God, I hate myself for saying this, and many other reasons, but in this particular one, for saying this.
Love yourself, Bobby.
They've been there, kind of deal. You know, just the fact that their players, this is expected.
Well, I mean, if you won a state title the year before, and you've got a lot of kids back, and I mean, the coach is no longer, you know, Steve Wood is not the green coach that. Everybody was shocked that when Tim Buchanan stepped down, you know, they've got none of that. It's just another Aledo team back in the same spot.
And to take nothing away from Longview, but, I mean, Lake Ridge had their hands full against Longview. And so there is that logic there where it's like, you know, if you're struggling and kind of coming down to the wire against Longview, well, shoot, I think Alito's a better team than that. So
okay, well, how about Division II, Lake Dallas and Lone Star? Lone Star, mightily impressive in the few times that I've seen them as well. That offensive and defensive line really is impressive for a Frisco ISD team, and that's not a backhanded compliment. They are the best that I've seen up front from a Frisco team in quite a while.
Right.
And you combine that with Jason Shelley and a couple of playmakers. They certainly have a good number of athletes to compete against those top-end teams. And Lake Dallas, you know, we knew coming into the playoffs, you know, both Matt and I wrote about the fact that they're a dark horse candidate or a team that could make a nice run because that region was bereft of Aledo.
Bereft?
Right.
It was lacking Aledo.
This isn't Sesame Street, man.
So you got Lone Star and Lake Dallas. I like Lone Star in this game.
I'm going to take Lone Star, but if you've ever, you know, if you want a good reason to take an underdog, Lake Dallas offers it with Dagan Hahn and Keegan Brewer
because
they might be the best hookup, you know, combination that I've seen out there. They just seem to be, I mean, they're both excellent players, you know, with any quarterback and any receiver, but they have such a great connection. I mean, it's just amazing the way he can get open and Hahn can find him all the time. And Hahn can run. Yeah. He's like a running back there. Basically, you know, he can throw the ball, but they just do straight quarterback runs a lot of times. And he's a big, strong kid. And
I still can't believe he doesn't have just gobs of offers. He seems like the perfect quarterback for a lot of these systems. But
hey, Matt, you know what's funny is as I was covering them and thinking about them, I was just like, they remind me of the Gonzaga basketball team with the hair. Like, you know how we always talk about Gonzaga with the hair? I was just like, the two of the big players on this team have the long, flowing, beautiful hair, and it's just wonderful.
I wanted to take footage of Dagan Hahn running and set it to Chariots of Fire.
Do they wear the headbands? Do they wear the sweat?
The European soccer?
The sweat headbands underneath their helmets?
I'd have to see them under the helmets. But I don't know about that.
Okay, well, on the other one, you've got Fort Bend Ridge Point. It's really interesting how.
What a weird way to win Fort Bend Ridge Point against Angleton.
Yeah, in OT.
Yeah. Sorry, good.
And they face Cedar Park. Cedar Park beats Corpus Christi Cal Allen. I think that everybody has known that they were the favorite heading into the playoffs, and they are still around. In Division One, you've got Abilene, Wiley, and Argyle, two teams that know each other. Argyle, though, just different names, but same result. Todd Rogers has built something mightily impressive over there.
What did I see? I think someone was talking about 28 playoff wins or something like that.
Oh, yeah, they've had the most playoff wins in, like, the last 5 years of any DFW school.
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, had that notable games. They were, they had played
I read it somewhere.
They had played in 27 playoff games, now 28, and they're 24-4.
Not bad.
Over that stretch since 2007, which more games than Allen, more games than, you know, a lot of the area powers.
I want to make a public apology.
Oh, no.
This could apply to many things.
Okay.
And you're
we need a part four.
Right.
Yeah. Here's the list.
Is this what Hanukkah's about? I thought that was a different Jewish holiday.
Well, when you sin enough, like, it's got to kind of carry over, like it overflows. But I did have, I thought, like, a pre, it was the tweet where it was Todd Rogers, like, he was being told something on the sidelines. And hit from the official, and his face was
yes.
And I spelled it Rogers without a D.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, man. This is the first time somebody's gotten something wrong on Twitter, and it happens to be me.
Right. So, bad luck.
It's less luck and more lack of skill or, you know, intellect, but yeah.
Carthage and Waco La Vega on the other side of the bracket. La Vega unbeaten.
Oh,
Carthage.
Great school name.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
And Carthage, coming off some really impressive wins, including beating Navasota. That's wide open, and it's there for Argyle to take, I believe. Matt, you think they'll be the favorite this week, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too. Salina versus Gilmer, 14-0 versus 14-0.
Is
it fair to say? I mean, that is basically Salina's nemesis, right, over the last—
Well, yeah. And last year—
Well, and last year especially.
That was bad last year. I actually saw that. It was a Friday night at Ford Field.
The Buckeyes.
And Gilmer, granted, a more talented Gilmer team because they had lost some, like, Chris Boyd and some guys to, you know—
Their coach.
And their coach.
Yeah.
But, man, they just walloped Salina big
time.
Well,
yeah.
So, you know, Salina's got some grudging to do, but man, if they could pull off that win, that yearly turnaround, I think they lost 69-14 or something last year. It was a fairly overwhelming loss. So they've got their work cut out for them. They will face the winner of West Orange Stark, who took care of Belleville versus Cuero. Cuero, who entered the playoffs at 5-5. Shows you region 4 bracket.
I just like the gif of what's his face, like, yes, good.
Oh, yes. Who is that? Oh, Mr. Burns, excellent.
No,
not
the
that one.
Guy, whatever, let's keep going.
and really no other area schools to talk about. Region 3 in Division 1, Brock and Mineola, I did say that is a really salty matchup. I think that if you're talking about best group of four teams, it might be Class 3A Division 1 because you've got Brock and Mineola, who are both unbeaten. You've got Cameron Yeo, defending state champs, and then Mathis from Region 4. That might match the 6A Division 2. Other notable wins, how about old Munster? Not in our coverage area, but fairly close by.
Pretty cheesy.
Yikes. I never saw such a thing. They win the Division 3 final in Class 2A Division 2.
It's really a shame that Shiner and Munster aren't in the same
beer and cheese
division. That'd be the best press box food ever.
33-16 over Tenaha. They'll face Bremond, an unbeaten Bremond.
Who
team.
Did they beat?
Bruni. You know, the Bruni Bears?
No.
I think they're Bruni Bears. I played in a basketball tournament where we played Bruni.
Oh, and to the lady on Twitter,
the size of my high school.
And to the lady on Twitter asking us why we do not cover Brock, that is a little too far west for us.
It is.
Thank you for reading.
But you know, Brock has been mightily impressive. Fort Worth Star-Telegram, I think, sent out a reporter there. So Star-Telegram.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. If we're talking west of Aledo, Weatherford, you're all good programs, but.
3A Division 1 is also very good. Canadian, who's might be the best team for its classification.
Crazy travel costs.
Crazy travel costs, but they shut out Stratford, a pretty decent Stratford team, 31-0. Crawford shuts out Toler 35-0. So you've got them and Love Lady and Refurio. Boo.
What?
To round out
why?
That playoff.
Why is that boo?
He's yeah. booing Refurio.
Boo Refurio.
Is that? Yeah. It took me forever to pronounce that. Refugio? Well,
you gotta,
Refugio.
Don't pay
Refugio?
Attention to the letters.
No, don't worry. That's how I felt about when I saw Selena. I immediately think Selena, and it's like, no, Selena. I was like,
yeah. Oh, biddy, biddy, boom, boom.
Dude, 12 right. Selenas lined up on the field would be the best team ever.
So, Matt, yes. thoughts? Do you think we're going to have a ton of teams from the area go to NRG, or do you think that these Austin area teams are going to pull off some upsets and some, you know, you get a lot fewer teams than in years past? The thought was that that this is going to be Houston's year.
Right.
But, man, it sure looks like it's shaping up to be the Metroplex year yet again with some of these teams moving forward.
Well, yeah.
Everybody sucks but us.
it's going to be tough in the lines. I think Mansfield is an underdog,
yep.
I believe. Mansfield's a really good team, and I may even pick them. But I think if you look at it on paper, you got to say they're an underdog. And then, you know, we'll get either Lone Star or Lake Dallas will be there
because right.
they're playing each other. I believe.
And you'll get either Aledo or
Lakeridge.
Lakeridge, so. That's right. That's true. And I think I would be pretty surprised if Allen lost. So I think Allen's going to be there. Yeah, I was thinking about that. If Allen does lose, this would be the first time since 2000, maybe 7, we haven't had a – that we wouldn't have had a team in the 6A. Well, what was 5A?
Right,
Division
the top
one final.
Bracket.
It might even be more than that. I can't remember 2000. I can remember 2008 and on. That's when I stopped drinking.
Oh, I see.
Whoa!
No.
I mean, we're gonna see college Matt Wixon bear down, Matt.
Yes, that's right. But no. So I think Allen will be in there. But I have been impressed too. I think the Austin area schools. I know the brackets work a little bit for them, but
right.
But those are some really good teams down
yeah.
there.
Yeah, when you look
Cedar
at
Cedar Park is always really good. Lake no Travis doubt. is like a primo Lake Travis team again. So and then Westlake is a very good team, and they could be dangerous.
Well, make sure you stay tuned to Sports Day HS. Mobile site's working great. Avi looks
is
looks
it?
Good.
I
yeah.
hope so.
Live score, yeah, live scoring's been a big success.
Yeah, we had a great amount of unique visitors visiting our live scoring over
inside baseball.
Thank
yeah.
you for being
thank
unique.
You for
You're
being
special
unique
and unique in yeah. your own way.
What? Okay,
we're all like snowflakes.
Yeah. Let me also point out real quick before we sign off. Out of the group of four, whose alma maters are in a bowl game coming up in college football?
Arizona.
This guy, not Maryland, not UNT, Arizona and Indiana.
You want to throw shade, huh?
I'm just saying.
I'm not going to brag about Arizona. We are 6-6 and playing in the New Mexico
We're
Bowl.
Going
New
to
New Mexico
the
Bowl's pretty good. Pretty good.
However, Arizona beat Gonzaga in basketball. That was good.
Yeah.
Going to the Pinstripe Bowl, baby, against Duke.
Matt's got priorities there.
Yeah, it's basketball yeah. season.
Maryland's a basketball school. This doesn't
affect
and
me. I think it would be a better basketball matchup for the Pinstripe Bowl or
then
better
it was,
attendance if you had Duke's basketball team and Indiana's basketball.
The crazy
team,
thing
right?
is Indiana just played Duke in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and we got the doors blown off us in Cameron by 20 points.
Well, that's not
congratulations.
Really
hashtag Fire Crane, hire Steve Spurrier as the next Indiana basketball coach if you would like. Yes, sir. If you would like, log on to TomCreaneBuyout.com.
People stop listening in
right.
about 5 minutes.
Sorry,
it exists.
Wait, but you guys want to talk about me and my Excedrin? Oh, so we're going to have this guy on here talking about Fire Tom Crean? Oh.
If you want to contribute to the buyout, if you want to contribute to the buyout, it's millions of dollars and a worthy cause.
Wow. Shameless plug.
Yep.
Shameless.
No, I love you all. Bye-bye.
That's it, I think.
That's it.
That's it. Yep, that's it. We'll end there.